Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. You're here
gorgeous.
For dinner.
Gorgeous. I'm here for dinner and whatever else.
Yep. Drinks.
Shenanigans that two 50-year-old women can get into.
Sounds good to
shenanigans.
Me.
Shenanigans.
Sounds good to me. All right, we're going to get right to it with this letter, which is not this letter. This is my manuscript.
Read that one. Let's read that one.
It'll take a while. Okay. All right, here we go. Dear ladies, I have one of those situations where I don't want to be mean, but I don't see another way. Here's the sitch. I met a woman through work. We work in different branches of the same company, but every once in a while, the branches get together for team building and corporate policy workshops and that kind of thing. She's perfectly nice, attractive, well-spoken, and good at her job, I assume, since she's been with the company for 3 years and hasn't been fired. Oh. Everything is going wrong today. All right, let's see if I can edit that out later. Okay. I've been here, let me do that last sentence. She's perfectly nice, attractive, well-spoken, and good at her job, I assume, since she's been with the company for 3 years and hasn't been fired. I've been here 15 years and am head of the division at my branch. Rosie, not her real name, has attached herself to me. She asks me questions about the company, fine, though I'm not her supervisor. She texts me, emails me, compliments me, calls me Big Tuna. I have no idea why. It's like she decided we were best friends and just goes accordingly. She sends me political stuff. We are like-minded in that respect. Talks about her family. I have no idea how many kids she has, but it seems like a lot. And someone is always having a baby or getting married or getting a promotion. And honestly, I have to pretend to know who she's talking about. I've never met her family. I don't know why she thinks I would be able to tell who's who or care about them. I know that sounds so bitchy, but I really barely know her personally, except for the facts she's shoved on me without my consent. When my youngest was having trouble deciding what she wanted in a college 5 years ago, I mentioned it to Rosie. She had asked how the kids were, and I said, oh, youngest is trying to figure out what she wants in a college. What I didn't know, or had blocked out, or had missed, is that her husband is a college admissions dean at a prestigious school. Rosie said he would love to talk to me and give me some insider info. I made the mistake of taking her up on it. He was totally helpful and professional and kind, and my daughter and I appreciated the insight. Unfortunately, this has translated into Rosie's idea that we're besties. I wish I hadn't talked to her husband, but water, bridge. Mm. Ladies, I have friends. I have a nice friend group and have a couple of really close friends. Rosie is not one of them. She wouldn't fit in with my group, and since she grates on me with her neediness and obvious desire to live in my pocket, I have no desire to invite her in, despite her many hints. She is exhausting. I want to scream at her, get your own friends! And now I'm going to say that thing that's stupid, but here it is. I don't want to be mean. I also want her to back off. We work for the same company. We see each other every quarter. That's it on my end. There's no friend chemistry for me, and I wonder how on earth she thinks there is. But telling her this feels like kicking a puppy, so I haven't done it. I just grind my teeth and fume. Got any suggestions? Signed, Teeth Grinder.
This is a tough one. Normally, we would say slow fade, but as long as these two have been working, Teeth Grinder has been sort of, it seems to me, been putting out the right signals. Let's not get close.
Right.
But Rosie is not understanding what's happening. She's coming on way too strong, man.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I feel like Teeth Grinder is just going to have to say, Rosie, you are a very nice person, but you're coming on way too strong.
I think Rosie would interpret that as permission to try a different way to be best friends. You know, I'm coming on too strong. Let me come on more softly when Teeth Grinder just doesn't want her to come at all.
This is such a tough problem without being mean.
Right.
I feel like that is the only avenue left to us is not to be mean, but to certainly be blunt.
You know, I'm trying to think of situations where, you know, we might have had comparable experiences like college or...
But I always pick up on the social cues. Like, I get it. If we're not, well, like, really...
But you're assuming you're in Rosie's position.
Right.
You're usually in Teeth Grinder's position. you know everyone gravitates to you. You're like a human magnet. And, right? You know, you sit down at a table in a you know, conference room and everybody wants to sit next to you and...
I don't remember it that way, but okay. But even still, I've never had this experience where someone has come on way too strong. I mean, people, especially when we were going to CTRWA, people were incredibly nice and welcoming and sat. And we only saw each other once a month. So right. I never minded any attention through that. And it never really went that much further. I mean, I think people got the social cues. They understood. I don't know what to say to poor Rosie.
I know. And I do feel bad for Rosie because she's not doing anything except offering herself up.
Right.
You know, and Teeth Grinder says, you know, she's nice, she does her job, whatever. But this is a tough one because I remember in college I had a very close friend and there was another girl on the hall who wanted to be in with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we did very mature things like pretending not to be in and locking the door, mm-hmm. you know, so that we didn't have to include her. It was, you know,
God,
I mean, and it was just like, well, that would be the nicest way if she just doesn't know we're here, you know, because she would just come by, you know how it is in dorms.
Sure.
You know, doors are open and everyone's flopping on everyone else's bed and
right.
chatting. But with that person, you know, it just went on too much too often. And I don't know what to tell you, Teeth Grinder, except, you know, don't answer.
Yeah. I mean, you have to continue on that course. But it seems like after, what did Teeth Grinder say? It's been 5 years?
She said 3 at one point and 5 at another. So let's go with 4.
4 years. Yeah. And Rosie is still not getting it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still just try to, like, do the ghosting thing. Just be very polite, professional at work. No invitations to get coffee or anything like mm-hmm. that. Don't accept that sort of thing either. And see where that gets you. But I have a bad feeling about Rosie. She's not getting it after all this time. I just have never met anyone who's never missed those social cues. So
what would you tell Teeth Grinder to say if she was going to have that one honest conversation?
Oh, Jesus. And it's so tough because what do you say? I don't actually like you.
Oh, it's awful. Maybe you could go with what you said, Teeth Grinder, and say, like, I just don't feel the friend chemistry
yes.
between us, but you seem like a super nice person.
Yes.
I just don't want you to put all this effort into a friendship that's not going to go anywhere.
You could try that.
I mean, the thing that she has on her side is they only see each other 4 times a year.
Okay. Yeah.
At the business thing.
I mean, you can try that. I feel so bad for Teeth Grinder and poor Rosie.
I know.
She sounds really lonely. She's like really, I don't know.
She does sound lonely and she just sounds kind of obtuse.
Yeah, that's where I'm struggling. I've never met anyone who has not understood the social cues, even when I was younger and had friends in college or high school,
yeah.
or whatever. I mean, you kind of got it, right?
I remember being at a friend's house, the parents and the children, and all the children were teenagers, I think, or older. And 2 of the kids were on the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
very smart, high functioning kids, but, you know, with that inability to read social cues. And one kid, he was just talking and talking and talking and talking. Mm-hmm. And then the other kid on the spectrum clapped her hands over her ears and said, "Stop talking! I can't stand it anymore!"
Do that! Do that, teeth grinder!
And I just thought, like, point made,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
And, you know, I think we all wish that we could have that lack of, I don't know.
What do you call
it? We had that inhibition to just say it like it is.
I mean, ultimately, I'm going to say you're going to have teeth grinder that one honest conversation, especially if you are grinding your teeth down to the nub.
Yeah.
You're going to have to fix this in a kind of way that makes you both really uncomfortable. Unfortunately.
Or you just don't respond. And if you feel like, well, that's, you don't want to be too mean, you can't completely ghost her, respond once to every 10 times she reaches out.
I mean, you can try that. I have a bad feeling, Rosie, it's been 4 years and she doesn't get it.
Yeah.
So I would say do both. You know, try the once in every 10 emails or whatever response, and then if that gets you nowhere after another year, you're going to have the blunt conversation, teeth grinder, just to say, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't feel a lot of friendship chemistry between us. And it feels wrong to continue to lead you on. That's not the right word, but that's what I'm thinking.
It is kind of what it is.
Feels, you know, wrong to kind of lead you on, and good luck and God bless.
Yeah. I'm thinking of, you know, my kids and situations like that where somebody gloms on to them and then the difficulty of shaking them loose. And, you know, I know of a couple situations like among my nieces and godchildren and where, you know, they're like, oh God, here comes that friend, like hide, you know,
yeah.
And, or they just have to be really ice cold,
which is,
and it's not really them, but they're trying desperately to get the message. And then, oh, you know, Prudence is such a bitch because she, you know,
that's what you kind of want to avoid.
Right.
I don't know that teeth grinder is going to be able to.
I mean, teeth grinder, you're a grown woman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can say, look, you're, you know, a pleasant colleague, but I don't feel like we're going to have a deep and meaningful friendship. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to let you know that.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
Yeah.
I just don't see any way around it. It's going to be uncomfortable, whatever happens.
Yeah.
But if you want it to stop, teeth grinder, this is what's going to have to happen. Try the ghosting thing first.
Mm-hmm.
See how well you do with that. Don't, like, duck into the bathroom to hide from her when you see her four times a year, you know?
You might, you know, at these quarterly things, if that's what Rosie is feeding off of,
mm-hmm.
you might have a colleague sit next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just kind of try to be with somebody else so mm-hmm. that you're not sitting there alone with two seats on
right.
either side of you at the lunch table kind
right.
of thing.
Right, right. Keep it in the group.
Yeah.
Someone always between. I mean, you could try that and see how you do. But
I wonder about Rosie's other friendships.
I do too. I mean, there must be some reason why she's glommed on to teeth grinder so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the same... Are they sort of the same sort of hierarchy in the job?
I'm trying to read over. I don't think so.
Teeth grinder is higher.
Teeth grinder said she's the head of the division.
Right, and Rosie is. So it could be a job thing where she's glommed on.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Glommed on because she wants like a mentorish type
right.
of thing.
Or a boost in her career.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be that. In which case, if it is that, then teeth grinder, introduce her to someone who could actually boost her career.
In her branch.
In her branch.
Or maybe even reach out to her manager, if
yes.
that's your direct
yes.
Colleague.
Yes.
And say, I think Rosie needs a little mentoring. She's been contacting me a lot.
Yes.
And,
Yes.
Yeah. I have a, a young woman who sends me her stories and says, can you help me get this published? And, you know, at first I was gentle and said, you know, okay, so I read it and here's what I think. She had a lot of work to do mm-hmm. to get up to a publishing level. You know, basic concepts of grammar and sentences and point of view and that kind of thing. But she had an incredible imagination.
Yeah.
And so that's what I focus on. You have an incredible imagination. So I sent it back to her with my comments, and she sent it back to me like 2 days later. I fixed everything.
Oh, God.
She had fixed nothing.
Right.
And I honestly don't think she knew how to fix what I was talking about.
Right.
And so I said, oh, it looks much better. You know, I'm sorry I don't have any experience in this fantasy genre, but mm-hmm. you know, good luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sent it to me again.
Oh.
And again, like one sentence things. Can, you know, I'm done. You know, mm-hmm. can you help me get it published? And I finally had to say, I'm really sorry. I don't have that power.
Yeah.
And I'm very busy.
Yeah.
Myself with my own stuff. I'm not able to help you. And I felt so bad, mm-hmm. you know. This was a kid who went to school with my kids.
And, right.
But I couldn't teach her as much as she needed to know.
Right. But the truth is you don't have that power. It'd be great if you did.
I know.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Get to work on that.
Let's do that right away. But yeah, I don't know. Most writers don't have that power.
I don't think there's a writer alive who can say, I want you to publish my friend.
Yeah.
It just there are like mother-daughter teams mm-hmm. or father-son. I know Stephen King and his son mm-hmm. write together, and mm-hmm. James Patterson and his son.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, certainly helps, but that's co-writing a
book. Yeah, right. You know, right.
So and when you have that those last names, you can do those.
You
things.
Can do yeah. those things. That's right. So yeah, ultimately, you ended up.
I just had to shut her down.
Yeah, and it was uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable, but it did solve my problem.
Teeth
and cracker. It did put the burden back on this young writer. Like, mm-hmm. you have to do the work yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if you really want to, you can't just, you know, plop it on me. But that doesn't seem as much of the problem with Teeth Grinder and Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
It seems more like the friendship stuff and that one favor.
Yeah.
That she accepted that made her feel like
right.
now we connect on such a personal level.
Right.
You've talked about friendship as currency.
It's not infuriates, it just drives me nuts when there's that sort of obvious, I did this for you, mm-hmm. so now you owe me.
Forever
in friendship. I don't respond well to that. The minute I see that coming, I kind of turn the other way mm-hmm. because that to me is not what friendship is about.
Right. And sometimes, you know, one friend is in a position to be able to help out more.
Right.
You know, because of ability or lifestyle or whatever. But it doesn't mean you are owed anything. Like I don't know if I've mentioned this, but my neighbor down the street works full time. And when the kids were little, if there was a snow day, her kids would come up here and play with my kids. Mm-hmm. And they were such happy days.
Mm-hmm.
And I could always do it because mm-hmm. I work from home. And one day my friend said, you know, I'm never going to be able to repay you. And I'm like, oh, repay me for what? For
right.
having a better day with your two kids
right.
playing with my two kids than I would have otherwise. And I knew what she meant. Like, I'm mm-hmm. never going to be able to take your kids and that kind of thing. And I had no expectation that
right,
she would.
Right.
I did it because I could
right.
and because I wanted to.
Right. But there's a vibe that happens when there are people who are clearly using the favor as currency in yeah. order to obligate you.
And it's weird when it's a favor of friendship.
Yeah.
You know, because I helped you move, I can come visit you whenever I want.
Right.
And you always have to open the door.
Right. Pop by your house unannounced and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not fine.
I have no tolerance for that.
Yeah.
Because it is so shallow. And I don't have that kind of bartering relationship with a friend. Colleagues, maybe, or someone
right.
I work with, but yeah. not with a friend. So I kind of hate that kind of thing. And if that's what's happening here, it does seem like it because Rosie did do the one favor, the father who was the college admissions thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the thing that's like obligated her.
Yeah.
You're now obligated, teeth grinder, because of that. And she does say that she regrets that totally.
I feel you, teeth grinder. And I think you should just respond less and less and
try it.
You know, because you're not already friends.
Right.
She thinks you're her friend, but that's not the way it is.
Yeah.
She's your colleague.
Yeah.
She gave you some help.
Right.
Which she offered.
Right.
You didn't ask her. Best of luck to you.
I would say, though, do the manager thing. Talk to her manager and see.
Yeah.
Like, try to do an end run. Like, if she's looking to you for help to be more ambitious in her career, then have the manager deal with that.
Yeah.
Right. Like that.
Just a couple of weeks ago when we were podcasting, I had an embarrassing personal problem that I could not recall.
Oh, yeah.
I recalled it.
Oh. What was it?
Well, I, as you know, am ever in search for the comfortable bra.
No, aren't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And listeners, we've tried them all.
So yes.
Don't send in your Wacol and, you know, Third Love.
I don't want to hear about it.
We've done it.
Yeah.
Spent thousands of dollars on bras that were, in the end, uncomfortable.
All bras are uncomfortable.
So I tried one, you know, I tried another one. And it was like, I don't like the underwire.
No, hate it.
And straps falling down.
Always.
Right?
Yep.
So I tried this over-the-top bra to pull on, mm-hmm. and it was like wearing nothing. It did nothing. It was just like, I don't know, nipple coverage. It did nothing for support, shape, and just, you know.
Yeah.
And it fit. Mm-hmm. It was just, I don't know, it was like having a plastic bag or something, you know, it was like that much support. And so I was going to return it, and I had it in the mudroom on the bench where we have, you know, outgoing stuff. And I also had on that bench a box of gifts and books for a teacher who was nominated by my readers as teacher appreciation.
Uh-huh.
And
I have a very bad feeling.
So a few days later, this teacher opened a box.
Oh, God.
And there's a mug and a magnet and some candy and some books and a scented candle and Kristen's bra.
So, oh, no.
I am so sorry. Now you know my size.
Yes.
I hope, I don't know, maybe it fit you.
That is hilarious. I'm sure she was like,
I was
okay.
Like, where is my bra? I wanted to return it. I've got to send it back. And I'm like, honey, did you see a little bag? He's like, yeah. I put it in the box.
Oh, God. Did you ever get in touch with the teacher?
I have not. She it was like a surprise to her. She was nominated by her sister or sister-in-law. As a worthy teacher who did a lot for her students, and it was just kind of one of those, sure, she's the winner, she sounds lovely.
Yes.
And
Kristen Higgins, a book, a mug, a bra. Yeah, good stuff.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net, and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.